special thank you to John and the praise team for that beautiful song. Amen. And a special thank you to our young people, the children, and for the adults who worked with them to make that presentation today. Thank the Lord. I want to read the passage of Scripture that was read earlier once again, because I think it we never tire of reading it. So I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18. Now there were shepherds living nearby out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom He is pleased." Well, when the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place that the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off and they located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. When it comes to a Christmas message, it's hard to not at least start with this chapter, Luke chapter 2. Some of us remember the days when, as children, we memorized a significant chunk of that chapter and quoted it in church at a Christmas play, or maybe we portrayed a role of shepherd or Mary or Joseph in a production depicting the wonderful birth of Christ. So today, what I want to do, if we can use our imagination, I just want to walk through the passage and comment as I go. Verse 8, there were shepherds nearby, living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night. And I'm reminded that if you are a shepherd, there are certain things you might be expecting to see if you take note of God's great outdoors. For example, like the heavens all aglow with the brightness of the stars and the planets which were put there by God when in the beginning He created the heavens and the earth. I've been in Israel, in Central and South America, way up into Canada throughout my lifetime, and some of the more majestic sights that remain in my memory are the incredible moving and ever-changing display of northern lights way up in Canada. Then when Ruth and I and Dick and Janelle were in Israel, the bright lights of Tel Aviv kept us from seeing too much of the heavenly lights at night. But on another trip, way deep in the dark jungles, especially of Brazil and Bolivia, the closeness, the brilliance and vividness of the stars in heaven often made me individually, as a person, as a child of God, ponder the greatness and the majesty of God. So, the shepherds out on the pasture lands would most certainly have noted the beauty of the heavens on that particular night. I think also they would have been keenly aware that in protecting their sheep, they always had to be on guard against the potential attack of predators. "Hey, Fred, I heard a low growl and the crackling of branches over there by you. Would you mind checking it out so we don't lose another sheep like we did the other night?" I'm guessing that if one of the shepherds sitting together was experiencing marital stress at home, he might have felt free to, in the open pasture land, to share it with his friends, hoping that maybe for some wise advice it might help him be a better husband and father. If there were camel or donkey or horse races in those days, they might have been chuckling over the names of the animals who were competing and entertained each other with stories of the racing history of certain ones, nodding their heads yes or no to the predictions of each shepherd as to who might be favored to win the upcoming competition. Who knows what else might be discussed or thought about during their shepherding watch? But would you be expecting a celestial being to join you out there in the wildness or the barrenness of the pasture land? Verse 9 tells us an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And one shepherd says, "Come on, Steve. Stop fooling around. Where'd you get the brilliant outfit you're wearing? That's a lot of LED lights." "What? What do you mean that's not you?" "No, that's not me, Kevin. But considering the pure whiteness of the outfit that guy's wearing and his appearance, and you know what else? Given what we know about God's messengers appearing as angelic beings, you remember, like to Abraham and Jacob and to others, I think we better listen up here. Something rad is going on." Actually, me personally, I'm outwardly okay, but inwardly, frankly, I'm fighting absolute terror. Imagine an angel who is at the beck and call of the Most High God doing what angels are supposed to do, joyfully carrying out God's orders, faithfully and excitedly doing His will. "Wow," one of them says. "I'm pumped. I've never had an assignment like this before. I can't get over it. I get to tell these unsuspecting shepherds something that I know is going to absolutely blow their minds. I am so fortunate just to be chosen to serve the Lord and to have the privilege to pass on this message. Oh, man, I hope I get it right the first time." I mean, this message will not only change their lives, but it'll also give them something, or actually someone, to live for the rest of their lives. I can almost picture them now feeling so honored, so privileged, that not only they, but anyone from now on who hears this story would never, ever let anything get in the way of them living for the Lord and passing on to others what I'm going to share with them. I mean, with such an important message, I can't imagine there would be any chance that they would get caught up in worthless endeavors and waste their lives doing things that aren't ultimately focused on getting this message to the ends of the earth. Well, okay. Here goes. I'm so excited. My heart is racing for meagerness and anticipation. Verses 10, 11, and 12. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is going to be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Then in verse 13, the Bible says, "Suddenly," apparently unexpectedly, "a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel." I need to just say something about that figurative or symbolic army of God's angels. Symbolic in the sense of the word army. They were there. They were actually angels. It was not a restricted, hands-tied, restrained group of military servants of God. There was no anti-God group picketing against them, trying to limit their freedom to serve God like there is right now in our own United States military. There's something we need to pray about for our own real military here. Because just yesterday I read this from the Christianity Today issue regarding our military chaplains. It said, "These days, military chaplains are also under attack by anti-Christian extremists for praying chaplains for praying, according to the American Center for Law and Justice. Quote, Mikey Weinstein and the absurdly named Military Religious Freedom Foundation, MRFF, are demanding senior chaplains, including, mind you, including the two-star Air Force Chief of Chaplains, that they be investigated and punished for praying in uniform at a religious freedom event. That's here in the United States. The MRFF accuses chaplains of using Christianity, quote, as a weapon to intimidate, to menace, to harass, to subdue and terrify their otherwise helpless armed forces subordinates. Pray for our military chaplains. Well, back to the angel who just made this powerful announcement of Christ's birth. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And the angel takes a deep breath and says, all right, I did it. And then he looks up because suddenly something happens that he didn't expect. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is finally the time chosen by God for me and one of our massive army of worship teams to praise God together with the hymn that we've been practicing for the past several hundred years. And there's this unbelievably beyond description sound that comes from heaven and earth together. A sound that all of the most renowned army of military choirs together could not match. This is a multitude, an army of God's angelic beings, and without any, mind you, anti-God restrictions, without any loathsome accusations of being offensive to some God-hater in the crowd, they willingly and joyfully proclaim, and I cannot do it justice, neither could all of us together. So I'll just simply say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. And when it's over, there's this, are you ready? There's this pregnant silence. A silence that even Martin Scorsese couldn't recreate, because this silence represents a deep sense of worship that so permeates the moment with awe and with reverence. No one wants to interrupt it. And the angel, looking around, trying to take in all the absolute glory of it all, finally says, we did it. We did it. What an honor. What an honor to serve my gracious God this way. And as though God has quietly whispered to the entire choir, the angel questions, we're done? Already? I mean, that's it? I could do this all day and all night. And as though a quiet conversation is being held, the angel says, okay, I get it, I know, it's time to go. That's fine. But before we go back to heaven, I just want to absorb this incredible scene one more time. I mean, look. That guy over there, he's still grasping his head and his eyes are still bugging out. He doesn't know what just hit him. And look, his friend's mouth is open so wide I can see the decay in the molar on the left side of his mouth. He's been chewing too much sugar cane. And check out that guy peeking out from behind his friend. He's still flabbergasted. He's speechless. I love serving God. And hey, I'm sure the guy that is laid out on the ground over there, breathing so hard, he'll be okay in a few minutes. I mean, look, his dog is licking his face. He'll come to any minute now. Don't you guys just love our job? I'm so honored to have been a part of this mission. But the Lord has told us that our work for now is done,
And honestly, I'm already wondering what our next exciting assignment will be. So we might as well head back to home base. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, listen, I know you guys aren't going to be surprised if I say there's a lot we could talk about right now. Like, for instance, Fred, I'm telling you, you were out of it, man. I'm surprised you got your breath back so quickly. And Tom, you still look like you've seen a ghost. But listen up, all of you. I hope none of us missed this. Did you see how the animals, even the animals, all sort of respectfully, even worshipfully, laid down and were quieter than you have ever seen them? It was like they too were humble recipients of the angel's incredible message. Well, listen, there's so much more we could review and analyze in a debriefing session, but right now, that would waste precious time. There's no time to lollygag around here. We got to check this out. Let's get over to Bethlehem ASAP and actually see this thing for ourselves. This is definitely a God thing, guys. And you know as well as I that it's really the Lord God who has spoken to us through the angel. You know that, don't you? They all wholeheartedly agree, and there's this enthusiastic flurry of movement and activity among them as they prepare to break camp and head out to Bethlehem. But one of the guys, he's already racing ahead of the others. Yo, Frankie! Wait up. Let's try to stick together as much as possible. This is too good, Frankie, to make it an individual experience. What we have seen and heard these past few minutes, and what we will say from now on is going to be most effective if we hang together and support each other in recounting everything that's happened in verses 16 and 17. Say they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Something like this. Excuse me. Could we have your attention, please? My friends and I, we have something to say, if we could. And we want to be as careful as possible at this point, because on our way here, we realized that once we got here, we could regale and delight you no end with individual personal accounts of what we have heard and experienced. And frankly, we feel pretty confident that we could probably get some book contracts and maybe some TV appearances that would focus on us. But I have to speak very frankly and honestly here. That would be a terrible waste. It would be almost a mockery of everything that God has brought us through recently. Because one thing that we have settled in our hearts, and you need to understand this is not about us. This is not even about you. We all have to recognize that this is about the Savior, Christ the Lord, who lies before us in this lowly manger. And the shepherds excitedly tell them everything that they've heard and seen. And verse 18 says, And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Now, there's a proverbial fly on the wall, and he's hearing some interesting observations, especially among the 21st century observers who are there. They're listening to what the shepherds have said. One person is thinking, I think I admire these guys for their willingness to go out on a limb here, even though it's such a rare and actually sort of a weird story. Someone else is mulling over. I know the politically correct police are going to question the mental health of these guys. Some are going to wonder if they were properly vetted before even being allowed to enter the stable and to relate such a mysterious but obviously religious account. But there's one guy with a huge smile on his face, and he's thinking, I can't wait to tell Helen and the kids about this. Just yesterday, Helen said to me, "Honey, I can't shake this feeling that things are about to change in our home." I wonder what she'll say about this. You see, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What about us? What about us? What about you? What are you thinking about the shepherds and their story? The word wonder means to admire, to experience admiration, to marvel at, to be sort of unsatisfyingly curious and definitely wanting to know more. But picture this. We're all standing at the manger right now, if I can say it that way. We've all just heard the shepherds relate what they went through. One translation says, "Everyone who heard them held the shepherds in admiration and were amazed by their wonderful stories." Let me ask, is there a good chance right now that you're thinking football here? I mean, the Bears and the Packers are playing today. Kickoff, 29 minutes. 29 minutes from right now. Is that what we're thinking as we stand around the manger? Or standing at the side of the manger, maybe someone's reflecting more intensely than ever before, deeply aware that in their hearts that God needs to make some serious changes in their life. Gosh, I don't think I'll ever be the same again. Someone else is thinking, I really need to reboot my life. Am I spending more time and money and effort on myself? My pleasure? My desires? Than I am on the Savior, whom I personally know and freely admit is Christ the Lord? Can I, without any hesitation, truly say, Jesus is Lord in my life? Or am I sitting sort of proudly and independently on the throne of my heart, doing my own thing because, by golly, my life is my own. No one else's. The shepherds hastily went to Bethlehem to check things out. What am I scurrying about to see? Where am I rushing off to with my life? The way my life is right now, is there anything? Is there anyone who would be able to motivate me to spiritual activity and involvement? Am I making known to others what I personally have heard and experienced about Christ the Lord? Am I even living with eternity's values in view right now? Or am I consumed with extravagant earthly values? Am I squandering my life away, gathering as many expensive toys as I can while I can? May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts as we imagine ourselves with the shepherds standing around the manger. Is the Savior the principal focus of my life and yours? Is He the focal point of my story and your story? Getting the message of this precious Savior out to our neighbors and to our friends, is that a rallying point for us, like it seems to have been for the shepherds on that special night? You know as well as I, God, in His mercy, continues to give each one of us opportunity, actually plural, opportunities to make known what we have heard and seen. So I would humbly urge all of us to take time right now to make our hearts right with God. What we've heard and seen and been a part of this morning is worth committing our lives to if we are willing to humble ourselves, if we are willing to confess our sinful disobedience to God, and if we are willing to repledge
ourselves to live for the glory of God instead of for self-promotion and personal advancement. So I encourage you, just simply obey the clear prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart right now, because this really could be the best Christmas ever for someone here today. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, for the Bible, a powerful Word of God. Thank you for the shepherds, for Joseph, for Mary, the angel, the heavenly host, and all of the others who were there. Thank you for the ability to imagine how things could have been, and whether or not, Father, it was like what we've heard depicted this morning, it did happen. And it does carry a series of messages and lessons for all of us who have listened with our ears and hopefully heard with our hearts. So, Father, may we go from here this morning challenged to be all you intend us to be, like those who inwardly and outwardly wondered and marveled at what the shepherds told them. May we also, may we not be ashamed, but be deeply delighted and quick to happily and joyfully relate to others the story of Jesus Christ, who is Christ the Lord, the Savior of all mankind. Oh, Father, forgive our sinful disobedience. Forgive our sinful self-focus, our sinful slothfulness. Remind us, O God, in the depths of our hearts this morning, through the merciful birth of the baby Jesus, remind us that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And may we all be able to honestly join the heavenly host in authentically saying, glory, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, genuine, authentic peace among people with whom you are well pleased. Through Christ our Lord, I humbly pray. Amen.